6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, Friday, July 15, 2022. Dave Prieger with you on the Power Hour. So glad you could join us for the segment. Hope you're having the good rest of your week so far. We've got the 10% off Strauss Naturals, Willard Water, and Miracle Skin products at the Power Mall, and it's Cash Friday today. You can save 10% on your purchase at the Power Mall every Friday by using the code Cash Friday at checkout when you select cash, check, or money order for payment. A big shout out to Sylvia, who is our newest Power Hour team member. Thank you so much for your support. And you know, one of the reasons that we thank all of you for supporting us here by shopping at the Power Mall and donating to the cause is that we're able to bring people on like Brian Festa with WeThePatriotsUSA.org. And, of course, Mr. Festa is a civil rights attorney who, along with his business partner and friend Don Jolly, founded this organization, We the Patriots USA, to preserve and reclaim our God-given inalienable rights, which seem to be slipping away by the minute. Every minute Congress is in session, or every minute the guy that's in the White House, I call him Scarecrow, if he only had a brain, keeps signing executive orders that keep attempting to strip our rights away. Brian, by the way, is the father of two who became involved in a health freedom activism and legal work several years ago after his son was seriously injured by a flu shot. This is another reason why we're offering Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book, 20% off at the Power Mall, The Real Anthony Fauci. You know, they're pushing all this stuff. And people still think that the government has it all together. Yet, Mr. Festa's son was seriously injured by a flu shot. He travels throughout the nation to speak about the work of We the Patriots USA, including multiple appearances at Clay Clark's Reawaken America Tour. Bully for you, Brian Festa, because I spoke at Myrtle Beach and talked all about how the left-wing media is twisting and wrecking America.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've been in all these shows. Glenn Beck, Brighteon, Stu Peters, Mel Kay, Mike Adams, Alex Jones. I mean, you've been everywhere. I've been on some of those, too. And so We the Patriots USA, when did you start that?
So that was started, it's no coincidence, it was started, Don and I started it on July 4th of 2020. If you remember, for those of us who have short-term memories still, you remember what was going on that summer. It was horrific what was happening in this country, what has continued to happen, but it was the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd protests, lockdowns, mask mandates everywhere. The country was on fire, basically, literally, quite literally. And we said, Don and I had a smaller regional organization, the Connecticut Freedom Alliance, because we were originally based out of Connecticut. We're in Idaho now. We said, you know what, this is much bigger than the New York metro area. This problem that we're facing, these problems that we're facing in our country have to be tackled at the national level. So let's start a national nonprofit, We the Patriots USA, that will fight back on all fronts, all tyranny. We don't just fight against, you know, infringements on medical or religious freedom, although that is at the forefront and has been at the forefront the last couple of years. We fight for Second Amendment rights. We fight against transgender ideology in schools. We fight against critical race theory being implemented in schools. A wide variety of initiatives that you'll see on our website at WeThePatriotsUSA.org. And we file litigation all over the country. We've got lawsuits right now in either pending or filed, mostly filed, in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Florida, New Mexico, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri. The list goes on and on. I'm forgetting a few right now. Nebraska. I can't remember them all off the top of my head, but we've got lawsuits all over the country from coast to coast.
That is amazing. And this is a 501c3 nonprofit, folks, for those of you who are interested in donating to the cause, obviously. When people retain you, when you say civil rights attorney, I always think of ACLU, and I'm going, nah, they're not. I mean, to me, you're just the opposite of what the ACLU stands for.
Yeah. Let me tell you this. All right. The ACLU, from what I have been told by people in the know with information on this, so this is secondhand, but from what I have been told, they have a litigation budget. Just their litigation budget, not for their whole organization, just their litigation budget is $100 million. Who do you think is funding those causes? And you look at our side. Our litigation budget is $1 million right now. We've been able to file all those lawsuits. It's not even $1 million. I'm not going to say the exact amount, but it's not even $1 million. So the point is, we need funding. They have all the funding in the world. They will be able to file as many cases as they want in defense of transgender ideology, in defense of critical race theory. They'll be able to file as much as they want for as long as they want. But an organization like ours, unfortunately, for some reason, we just don't get people on the side of liberty, on the side of constitutionality, coming out and writing big checks. It just doesn't happen. And I have a very good friend who's a philanthropy specialist for almost 30 years, and she said, Brian, it's been that way for decades. The left always funds all of their causes, all of their extreme radical causes. They love to fund litigation. Conservative people do not fund litigation. They do not open up their wallets, and that's why we have lost, and that's why the country's in the state it is, because they know that they could win in the courts. The courts are the one place we can still win. Look at these decisions you just saw a couple of weeks ago from the United States Supreme Court. Look at these decisions in defense of religious liberty, in striking down Roe v. Wade, in defense of the Second Amendment. You can still win cases at the United States Supreme Court, and the people on the other side who hate liberty, who love tyranny, they know that, and they've known it for decades. So they've funded it to the tune of not only millions, but billions of dollars. And yet people on our side can't even scrape together a few hundred thousand. It's an absolute travesty, and we need to change that.
Well, see, Brian, the thing is that as a paralegal, you know, and having worked preparing briefs as part of the means of pushing paperwork to get it into the civil realm in the Supreme Court of the United States, we're talking about $125,000 minimum in filing fees and costs to get a case into the Supreme Court, are we not?
I'm sorry, I missed the amount there. You cut out for a second. Minimum of what?
$125,000.
Oh, I mean, easily, in most cases. Luckily, we have very good attorneys because we do a lot of work with them who give us discounted rates. So our cases range from $50,000 to $100,000 generally. And that's a flat fee. Our attorneys are able to offer us flat fee rates. So when we raise money, we have a fundraiser. We have multiple fundraisers on our website right now. And when we say we need $50,000 or $75,000, that's it. That's all we'll ever need in legal fees, and they do the rest pro bono. So we are very, very fortunate to have that relationship with our attorneys. We have a network of attorneys throughout the United States, but we only work with them on flat fee basis for this purpose, so that we can get the most bang for our buck. And we're very strategic. Because we don't have hundreds of millions of dollars, we have to be very strategic. We only file cases that we think, first of all, have a very good chance of success, and second of all, that are going to make the widest, broadest nationwide impact to help as many people as possible. Like our religious exemption lawsuit, for instance, against the state of Connecticut, that took away the right for parents to opt out of vaccinations from the child's vaccination schedule that are required for school attendance. Like California, like Maine, like New York, they stripped Connecticut families of the right to have a religious exemption. And so we filed both a federal and a state lawsuit. Our federal lawsuit, we think, has a very good chance of getting to the United States Supreme Court and making precedent that will protect all families. California, New York, Maine, they'll have their exemptions back, and every other state will have exemptions protected forever if we win this case.
Yeah, it is amazing. And you're fighting battles on all fronts with teams of attorneys. And the beauty of it is at least these guys that are in the front line, they know what they're up against. And, you know, it's like Project Fear. Ever run across them?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they supposedly like to come out and discourage voters of voting certain ways. You talk about destabilizing a nation politically. This is something that's been bothering me for a while now, but that's just one of the things they do. And now the Supreme Court of the United States, in as much as you're talking about all the good things that happen, well, we also have the bad things that happen, because now, and I'm not sure just how far you're willing to take or your group is willing to take this, but the ruling in Egbert versus Boole that just came down limits the ability of individuals to sue federal officials for misconduct when it ruled that a bed and breakfast owner who was roughed up by a Border Patrol agent could not sue the officer for warrantlessly intruding on his property and violating his Fourth Amendment rights by using excessive force and then retaliating against the owner after he filed a grievance with the agent's supervisors. I mean, we're talking about basically a law enforcement officer, according to this ruling, and this is John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, I'm sure you've heard of them, has basically said there will be no consequences for cops who brutalize the citizenry and no justice for the victims of police brutality. So from a constitutional perspective, I mean, we're in a kind of a bad way because of that ruling, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we are, let me just say, we are big defenders of our law enforcement, as well as our veterans. My business partner, Don, is a Navy veteran herself. So we stand up for veterans' rights, for law enforcement's rights to be able to protect citizens. And, you know, that's why, like I said, I mentioned the George Floyd case, because that was one of the cases that we saw as, you know, really igniting division in this country in a very, in the worst way possible. And also the, who was it? I'm trying to remember their names. The lawyer, the two lawyers, the lawyer, the husband and wife, who were standing with their AR-15.
Oh, that would be McCloskey's in St. Louis.
McCloskey's. Yes, in St. Louis. Yes, and that was going on right around that time, too. And I said, this is ridiculous. So you're going to tear these people down because they're defending their property? And that's what you just made me think of when you were talking about this case. You know, you have a right as a citizen of the United States to defend your life, your family's lives, your property. You know, in my opinion, absolutely. Absolutely. If anyone is coming on there with malintent to harm you or to take from you, you have the right to defend that with force. And the Second Amendment, that's a God-given right, the right to protect yourself. You know, Jesus said to St. Peter, put your sword back in its scabbard. He didn't say throw it away, right? You know, in the garden when he was being arrested and Peter tried to defend him, you know what I'm talking about.
He also cut off the guy's ear.
Right. He didn't say destroy your sword, though. He didn't say you shouldn't have a sword. He just said put it back in scabbard. Those who live by the sword will perish by the sword. So let's remember that. We have a right to defend ourselves. In the right time and place. That's not, you know, obviously we promote responsible gun ownership. And let me just say, most of the people that own guns in this country, that own them legally, obviously are responsible, well-trained gun owners. Most of the gun crime in this country doesn't come from people who are buying firearms legally, of course. It comes from the city of Chicago and in New York and L.A. and places like that. Chicago, that has the strictest gun laws in the country, has the worst gun crime. So it's just, it's a farce when they try to, what was just passed, and I'm saying this just as an individual, because we don't get involved in legislation with 501c3, as you mentioned. But me as an individual, what I personally think about this supposedly bipartisan gun legislation that was just passed, I think it's horrible. I think it's absolutely disgusting. And those Republicans, supposedly Rhino Republicans that signed off on it, should be ashamed of themselves. We need to get more patriots into office. At the end of the day, that's what needs to happen. True patriots, not fake conservatives. Listen to my friend Daniel Horowitz sometime on I've been on his show a number of times. He's brilliant. I was just speaking to him yesterday, and he was fired up because he is absolutely outraged at all of these fake conservatives that are ruining this country.
The number is 844-769-2944. That's the number to call right now if you want to chime in on this conversation. We're here with Brian Festa. He is an attorney, civil rights attorney, on the right side of things.
he and his business partner and friend Don Jolly. So you moved from Connecticut to Idaho. Wow, that was must have been a shift.
It was a great shift. Let me tell you, the first day I was here, as I was moving in the process of moving, I met about three or four like-minded patriots who were all speaking my language. I handed out some business cards. It's night and day because in Connecticut, you know, you have to be worried. Every word you say, how people are going to react. Not that I'm worried because I always shoot my mouth off regardless, but, you know, most people, like you, right? Most people have to be, you know, kind of guarded with what they're going to say, whether it's in the office or even in the grocery store. Here, it's, you know, they're all like-minded people. And what does like-minded people mean? It means we believe in liberty. We believe in individual rights and freedoms. We don't believe our rights come from the state. They come from God. We don't believe the state is there to bully us or to tell us what to do, how to live our lives. We believe the state is there to serve us. The government is our servant. We, the people, or we, the patriots, more appropriately, are the ones who get to make the decisions and how we govern ourselves, okay? And that's been lost. I have another friend. I'm plugging other people instead of me today, I guess. David Oldham of Constitutional Grounds. He's out of Oklahoma. He's a brilliant constitutional scholar. The guy's an electrical engineer, but he's a self-taught constitutional scholar, and you should check out Constitutional Grounds. I think it's constitutionalgrounds.com or .org, but I think it's .com. Check that out. He's going to be on our Vaccine Safety Awareness Marathon. So coming up every year, we do this online. It's a virtual marathon, sort of like the old Jerry Lewis telethons on Labor Day weekend. In fact, the first one we ever had was on Labor Day weekend. We go 24 hours straight with interviews from the medical freedom community from across the world. So it's the Vaccine Safety Awareness Marathon. This year it'll be September 10th and 11th, 10 a.m. on Saturday, September 10th, through 10 a.m. on Sunday, September 11th. We'll have a promo commercial coming out soon about that. But me and Dawn and some other guest hosts, we go 24 hours straight interviewing people. We have this year some amazing guests. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Pierre Corey is coming on. Zen Honeycutt, an acclaimed author. Children's Health Defense, we have Brian Hooker, Mary Holland, Attorney Ray Flores. And there's just, I can't even remember all of the people we have on the list this year because it's just such a star-studded lineup of doctors, scientists, lawyers, and activists from all across the world. And we're really, really looking forward to it. So stay tuned for that as well.
For sure. Tom in Michigan, you are on the phone with Brian Festa. You took my advice and decided to call back in, did you? You're on. What's up?
Yes, I did. Mr. Festa, I just heard you say something that I was talking about earlier was when people are talking about their Second Amendment right of self-defense. I don't think we have a Second Amendment right of self-defense. I think we have a Ninth Amendment right of self-defense. We have our Second Amendment gives us a certain means, you know, to provide that self-defense. But, I mean, it could be a ball-peen hammer or a brick or a screwdriver. The reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, there was a case that really has been bothering me trying to decide if the judge is totally corrupt or he's just begging for a correct technical legal argument. It's a federal civil action, and one of the parties, a broadcaster, is being sued for things he said on his program, and the judge is telling him now you cannot bring up the First Amendment, and you know I look at the First Amendment, and the very first thing it says is Congress shall make no law respecting, and then everybody knows the First Amendment. I don't think it's a matter of law. It's a civil action. So I'm thinking this party has a Ninth Amendment. All the rights in the First Amendment are contained in the Ninth Amendment. And I've seen it before where judges have said, oh, you can't bring up the Constitution in this court. Well, this one, you can't bring up the First Amendment in this matter. But, I mean, what if he just says, well, look, you know, I have a Ninth Amendment right of freedom of speech. You know, there's no malicious intent that's ever been proved, you know, failure to state a claim, something like that. But, you know, to instead of looking at the judges being corrupt, I'm looking at them as inviting a technical legal argument in law. You know, if things are highly defined, that's a good thing.
Well, okay, so Tom, let's you set the parameter there. Brian, what's your take on what Tom just pontificated there?
Favorite amendments in the Constitution, actually, because they reserve the rights to the people, right? So the Ninth Amendment literally says that, you know, the rights in the Constitution that are enumerated shall not be construed to deny or disparage others that are retained by the people. And the Tenth Amendment specifically says if the certain powers have not been granted to Congress, then they are reserved to this. Respectively, so it's all about. I think that the first.
See, having a bit of problem there with the phone.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Sorry. Any better?
Yeah, we're good.
Let me take it off speaker. Maybe this will help. So basically. If there's a right that's not specifically mentioned in the Constitution, it doesn't mean you don't have it, is what the Ninth Amendment is saying. It doesn't mean the people don't have that right. It doesn't, you know, it's just a right that's reserved to them, and it's not a right, it's not something, specifically granted by the people to the federal government. But anyway, regardless of whether you think it's in the First or the Second or the Ninth Amendment, the point is we do have the right to defend ourselves. And, I mean, obviously the right to keep and bear arms, why would that right even be in there if we didn't have a right to use those arms? We're not going to just, you know, keep and bear arms to put them on a shelf and show off our weapons to people.
All right, there you have it. We're at the break right now. Thanks for your call, Tom. Appreciate that. 28 minutes after the hour, we have a very short break. We're going to come back with Brian Festa. He's the co-founder and vice president of WeThePatriotsUSA.org. We'll be taking your phone calls after the break. Stay with us.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Yes, friends, and you are my friends. This is the Power Hour. Your phone calls are welcome. 844-769-2944. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We have Brian Festa with us. He's a civil rights attorney from WeThePatriotsUSA.org. News just in, a federal district court in Ohio has temporarily blocked the Biden administration from enforcing the COVID-19 vaccine mandate on thousands of U.S. Air Force service members who remain unvaccinated after having opposed the shot on religious grounds but have had their religious exemption applications denied. So just to let you know, this is some of the things. I mean, we're rocking and rolling. That would not have happened had somebody not gone to court. Right, Brian?
Absolutely. Amen. And they're doing great work. I've been following that lawsuit as well as many others like it across the United States. Like I said, we're strong defenders of our service members and our veterans. Sergeant Jesus Cano in New Mexico is a 21-year service member, career service member of the Army. And he's being told he's going to be discharged, not honorably. He's going to be discharged if he doesn't get the shot and lose all of his GI benefits that he's passed on to his children and have to pay them back as well. This is a man who has had three combat deployments plus a mobilization to Fort Lee. He's fought in Afghanistan. This guy is an American hero. And he's being treated like a piece of garbage, and we need to stand up for him. So we have a fundraiser on our website for him. He's got a long way to go. I think we last checked $17,000 and change of his $75,000 goal. We have to fundraise for most of the stuff because, again, we just don't have the repository of funds that some organizations do, like the ACLU, where they can just dip into their $100 million and just, you know, pay for this all pro bono right up front without even thinking about it. We have to be very selective, and then we have to fundraise for these individual lawsuits because we just don't have the donor base that those other organizations do. So if anyone's interested, by the way, in having a discussion about becoming a more significant donor, whether it be on a monthly or quarterly basis, annual basis, and they do want to fund our organization and our work, you can certainly reach out to us. We have an email address, info@WeThePatriotsUSA.org. We do, right on our website, on our donate page at the bottom, our one-time donation page, and our monthly, for that matter, I think you'll see at the bottom, our tax ID number. If you choose to donate anonymously through a donor advised fund, some people choose to do that as well. That's also fine, because we know you can definitely suffer. People have suffered retaliation for donating to Liberty, to donating to these causes. You saw what happened even in, remember the convoy in Canada, the woman who donated $50 and had her bank account frozen. And that stuff has happened here as well. We've had people, Mike Lindell had his bank accounts closed in Minnesota because he supported President Trump. And so we are strong defenders of that as well, wealth and asset protection. The federal government and even private, you know, banks have no reason discriminating against people just because of what they believe. We have federal law against that. We were recently canceled by PayPal and Venmo. They shut down our accounts and told us we can never do business with them ever again, both on a business level and a personal level. So neither Don nor myself, even personally, in our own personal transactions, can never use PayPal or Venmo simply because, although they wouldn't tell us the reason, this came right on the heels of those Supreme Court decisions being released that we supported. We support those causes and religious liberty and life and all of those things and Second Amendment. And they came after us within days of those decisions. They shut us down. I'm sure we weren't the only organization. And they said, you can never do business with us again. So we are exploring right now litigation also against PayPal and Venmo. And then just yesterday, Meta, Facebook, we got a notification, an email from them saying we can never run ads on their platform again because we violated their policies. They won't tell us why, whether it was because we engaged in hate speech when we said we're standing up for a parent's right in Boston, in the Boston public schools, to opt his 11-year-old son out of transgender curriculum when he was forced to read a story called The Gender Reveal about a 13-year-old boy who comes out as non-binary at his birthday party. And that's Brian Ruka's case. We have a fundraiser for that as well. He's trying to raise $50,000 for his legal fees. Was it because we opposed critical race theory being implemented in the Guilford, Connecticut public schools, and we have a lawsuit that we've already funded for that, and that's going to be filed shortly, because the superintendent of schools decided to implement a curriculum that included a requirement for all staff to read Ibram X. Kendi's novel, supposedly novel, whatever his book is, How to Be an Anti-Racist. I don't know what kind of book it is because I haven't...
Yeah, it's kind of crazy out there, Brian. That's because they're all woke. We already know that. Sherry in Kansas, you're on the phone with Brian Festa. Go ahead.
Yes, Brian, I'd like to pick up on what you were talking about before we went to break. You're talking about the amendments and Congress has only got the powers given it to it by the Constitution. And yet they seem to be giving these agencies powers that they don't have themselves. And I'm wondering if if an argument can be made when you're going against these agencies.
Great question.
If you can use that, because, you know, I've heard people like Ralph Winterrude, may he rest in peace, saying he dug into these powers of the agencies to the way they're supposed to make their rules and their regs, and they aren't doing it. And he said that technically, to him, it looked like they were giving them powers that Congress couldn't even make laws like that.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. In fact, yes. We have had discussions with our legal team specifically about that, about using the Ninth and Tenth Amendment in some of these arguments to restrict, to prove that the powers have not been granted to the federal government, which means they have not been granted to the agencies. If these powers aren't specifically vested in Congress or in the executive branch by the people, by the way. You said by the Constitution. I'll make a little correction there for you. It's by the people. Yes, it's recorded in the Constitution, but we still hold the power. We can take it back at any time. The founders were brilliant, the framers of the Constitution, because they put in the amendment process. We can take back those powers, too, and a lot of people don't really remember that, right? If there's any specific power the federal government has that we don't want them to have anymore, we can take it back by amending the Constitution. So absolutely, if there's not a specific power granted to them, then that can't be granted. Congress can't grant a power that's not granted to Congress in the first place. You can't take those powers that aren't even enumerated in the Constitution and say, okay, well, I'm going to let a federal agency have it, because Congress has to have the power to begin with. So there are a lot of people that think a lot of these agencies themselves, never mind what the agencies are doing, but there are a lot of people that think the agencies themselves are unconstitutional because Congress didn't have a power to create them. I tend to agree with them. I'm more libertarian-minded personally, so I tend to agree that we have way too many federal agencies, that the role of the federal government isn't to provide every possible social service program under the sun and entitlement programs and all these other things. You know, the government is there to defend us and, you know, create roadways. There's a few other things, but there's really not a whole lot that the government has been given explicit power to do. And again, the government is our servant. They work for us.
Sherry, okay. Stay right
Thanks
there.
A lot.
Stay,
I appreciate
stay,
it.
Stay right there on that. Sherry, stay right there on that. See, she hung up. All right, that's fine. Brian, I want to get to the fact and what she was bringing up. And we were talking about these agencies, which I thought was a great, great lead in. A lot of us now are finding ourselves tied up in what is known as an Article I administrative forum. And this is why all these judges are saying, I'm sorry, but you're not in that forum, especially like traffic court. It's an Article I administrative forum. Is that what you're finding in this day and age, a lot of these lawsuits and bits of litigation you're tied up in has to do with Article One arguments rather than constitutional arguments?
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing. A lot of these cases that we brought have to start in that administrative forum that you're describing, the Article One forum. So, for instance, EEOC cases, right? We bring cases on behalf of people that have been discriminated against in the workplace on the basis of their religious belief. We have a lot of cases like that. People who have objected, for instance, to the COVID shot mandate because they have a religious objection, or even the mask and testing mandate. On the basis of their religious objection. Taryn Gregson, who's the host of our phenomenal podcast, Faithful Freedom, she's a former PGA Tour reporter, and she now hosts our podcast. The new season will be starting up in September, but check out season one. It's already stored there on our website at wethepatriotsusa.org. But she's phenomenal. We actually funded a lawsuit on her behalf as well to fight the PGA Tour. She was 19 weeks pregnant when they terminated her because she was refusing these mandates on the basis of a religious belief. We have to go to the EEOC first. It's called exhaustion of administrative remedies. So when you're in that forum at the EEOC, yes, there are different rules that apply in court, but you can get a release and take those cases, or they call it a right to sue at the EEOC. You get a right to sue letter, and then you take it into, you can take it into federal court. And at that point, you can pursue your claims through the regular judicial system. So it's not the Article One. Yeah, the EEOC is the administrative agency that does their internal investigation, internal adjudications. But once it's out of that forum, no. I mean, all of your rights are preserved under the Constitution, as well as under federal discrimination law, Title VII. In the case of employment discrimination cases, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 preserves your rights there. And you can, file a cause of action under Title VII in federal court. So I know what you're saying, and people do try to invoke that. And when you are an administrative agency, you are far more limited, which is why we usually try to pull those cases out. We don't like to keep those cases at the administrative agency, especially given certain political influences. Depending on what administration is in charge, the agency tends to change with the wind. Whoever the powers that be are, although even when, for instance, President Trump was in office, you saw a lot of corruption in these deep state agencies. It's not like suddenly, he was sworn in and they all became defenders of individual liberties and constitutional rights.
No, they didn't. And that's a big problem with me. And I keep telling my audience, how many Wacos and Ruby Ridges do we have to go through before people wake up and start doing the right thing? And see, when we're talking about the Article One administrative forum, I mean, this is a sort of thing that, we get caught up in, and contracts are Article One administrative processes. Even though the Constitution says under 110(1), the obligation of the contract shall not be impaired. The big problem is that all these contracts that everybody has signed that has enslaved them in some way, shape, or form into the American system, driver's license, insurance contracts, I mean, you can look at this from a patriot aspect and say, oh, they are all Article One. But getting them out of Article One, especially when you've got you're surrounded like they were at Waco and Ruby Ridge, and all of a sudden the rules of engagement changed. I mean, they might have been there to serve a warrant, but that is not that. That to me is government overreach, and there has to be a constitutional way to fight that. And
yeah,
I'm quoting Jerry Spence here.
Absolutely, that's great. And David Oldham, like I mentioned, I did verify it's constitutionalgrounds.com. He's always argued for that, the fact that we shouldn't even have driver's licenses or licenses I agree with him. I mean, the only the justification, the argument on the other side will be, of course, well, that's to prevent abuse, right? So you have one shady, and that's stealing client money or something. You need to have a government agency to regulate that. You need oversight. Well, no, we have law enforcement. Stealing from a client is a crime. Okay, yes, it's an ethical violation, but it's already a crime. When you can arrest someone and put them in prison for it, do you really need an agency looking over your shoulder also to give you what? what's worst punishment are they going to give you? Are they going to be able to, you know, okay, so they're going to take your license away. Okay, but you can already be imprisoned for it. You understand that. When you steal money from a client, you can be placed into prison, all right? So, I mean, you already have, those things are already crimes. So, yes, there's chances for abuse. Oh, well, malpractice, same thing. You know, for a doctor or something. People can be prosecuted either in civilly in court or sometimes criminally if there was, a negligent, homicide or something like that. That was grossly negligent or, there in certain cases, even doctors can be criminally prosecuted. So again, if there's those things, you know, we have the law, we have law enforcement in place to correct those things already. But now we need to justify government agencies also to regulate every act. And guess what? Look what those government agencies did back to doctors for a minute. Look what they have done the last 2 years and continue to doing to doctors who are speaking truth, like my good friend Peter McCullough. And like my good friend Pierre Corey, and like my good friend Dr. Paul Thomas, all right, up in Washington, who's been persecuted simply because
we've had him on the show, Brian.
He's great. He published a study, vaxxed versus unvaxxed, in his pediatric practice, which showed that there was a tremendously higher rate of all kinds of illnesses and disorders, including autism spectrum disorder, which my son has from the flu shot. There's a wide variety of a wide disparity, I should say, between unvaxxed children who have very, very low rates of these diseases and disorders compared to vaccinated. And they're all similar, they're same age, they live in the same area, exposed to all the same environment, except for one thing, that they don't get the shots. And it's fascinating, and he's been persecuted. He had his medical license suspended, he was able to win it back, but he had it suspended.
Breaking up.
By his own defamation action. Medical board, no right, they should be charged. A doctor, preventing them from saving lives and helping them for speaking the truth, they should be charged criminally. They should have their medical licenses stripped, in my opinion.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, we were losing you there for a minute, and so, you know, we lost some of the content of that message. There is a, you know, all sorts of concern over the fact that we may be seeing this fall multiples of different mutations and different types of diseases. I mean, they are literally talking, and we're in the health segment here. They're talking about yellow fever, Lassa fever, Marburg, hemorrhagic fever, hantavirus, Rift Valley fever. I mean, literally, they are, and I'm thinking, and I don't know where your thought process is on this. To me, a lot of this is all planned. This is a lot of our frontline doctors like Carrie Mate, David Martin, have all said this is nothing more than depopulation. What's the take from your crew? Do you think the same way?
I agree. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
It's absolutely orchestrated. It's one emergency after another so that they can perpetuate further lockdowns, further control of the people. We know that these shots, and listen, I always put the disclaimer, I don't give medical advice, I'm not a doctor, but you and I both know it quite clearly. These shots are neither safe nor effective, okay? They're harming way more people than any health benefit that they're providing. And so there is going to be carnage. There already is carnage unleashed. Look at what they just did in approving this shot for 6 months and up. It's not approved, but that's the lingo they're telling us. It's an emergency use authorization again, right? But everybody's going to say it's approved now. All your doctors are going to say it's approved. All the schools are going to say it's approved. They'll add it to the childhood vaccination schedule. And why is that important? Because then they'll be shielded from liability. It's not just about profits. There's, I believe very firmly, as does my business partner Don, there's a global depopulation agenda at play here. As crazy as that may sound, when you start looking at quotes from Mr. Bill Gates, who has specifically talked about things like that and talked about the need to reduce population, It doesn't sound so crazy anymore when you start listening to the sound bites and hearing what's come out of their own mouths. It's hiding in plain sight.
Well, then you've got the mRNA aspect of this whole thing, which McCullough is just, to me, and I've met him, I've talked to him, and it's like beating around the bush. Dude, if you're going to come out and tell people, I mean, Malone has already come out and told people, you know, yes, I helped invent this thing. And I'm like, yeah, but then you let somebody else take it and run with it. And they misused it. And now look what they're doing with it. Now they want to program us with garbage that literally could give us prion diseases and all sorts of other stuff. And I can understand that people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I mean, they've taken their fight to the courts. But, you know, the courts that are in charge of these vaccines literally have circled the wagons, for lack of a better term. I mean, they're going to protect Big Pharma no matter what. And it's basically up to us, I believe, and we the PatriotsUSA.org, to educate people as to, and if it's through your legal means, through the lawsuits, and if everybody knew the law, we wouldn't need laws on the books, we wouldn't need police, because everybody would be walking in love. That's not what's happening here. Obviously, we have people out there that don't work for God, they work for the other side. It's perfectly obvious, they've all come out. They've all waved it in our face. Like you said, with Bill Gates, Brian, they basically said, yeah, we need to have a vaccination schedule here because we could take out 10 to 15% of the world's population if we did. I mean, they're literally, I mean, you got Yuval Harari, who's working with, you know, WEF and Soros and all the rest of them, and Klaus Schwab. I mean, all these people, these are names, you know. And, you know, we've been trying to tell our listeners out there that these people are not going to stop until they've convinced every wrong-thinking American what's going on. That's what we're afraid of, totally afraid of, that, you know, we're just afraid that, you know, people are going to just trust medical community and they're going to do what they're going to do. What's your take on all this?
Yeah, it's scary, it's horrifying, and that's why we're standing up and fighting back at great personal risk, by the way. These doctors, these scientists, and even attorneys like myself and people that are actually fighting back in court, we're risking our lives. And that's not that's not an exaggeration. Some of us have received death threats. We know we're in the crosshairs. We have to
You're still breaking up there, Brian.
I'm sorry about this. I just I hope that's a little bit better. We know that when we have God on our side, that's the bottom line. And so right. We know that we're doing the right thing. And when God is with us, who can be against us, as St. Paul tells us?
Right. Now, the thing is you've also, did you just say you had death threats?
We have in the past. My wife and I both, we've been involved in this a long time, fighting for our son who's injured, and other doctors and scientists I know have also been threatened. Some to the point where they've made the personal decision not really to speak out publicly anymore, and that's their right. We have a First Amendment right to speak, but it's not a compulsion to speak. But yeah, I mean, those of us who are continuing to speak out, we find ourselves in the crosshairs every day. We're not going to give up, though. I'm not going to back down. You know, I understand that there's a risk to this, but if I did nothing, the risk would be much, much greater for my family and for this country.
Well, and see, that's kind of the way that we're looking at it. And I'm talking about we the people, our listeners here on the Power Hour. And so, you know, I'm glad that you were able to speak at Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour. And I'm hoping that, you know, you're going to be in Rochester because, I mean, they need speakers like you on the front line telling it like it is. And, you know, until people understand what the law is and know what their rights are, because I think we've forgotten it. I think we've gotten away from the Constitution, per se. People just don't understand we have the right to take our country back. So until we the people rise up and do something significant, these people are going to continue to walk all over us, don't you think?
Absolutely. From the beginning, that's been our feeling. Don and I knew that if we didn't take a stand and do something ourselves, who would? We can't rely. There's too many people in this country who sort of have an attitude, and even people on our side, to be quite honest, who have this attitude, well, somebody else will do that. somebody else will take care of it. You know, they don't realize that we hold the power ourselves to fight back. If we all just collectively refuse to comply with all these mandates and all these lockdowns, they would have been over in about 10 minutes. But because the majority complied, they continued these new hemorrhagic fevers they're warning us about and monkeypox and everything else. It's just going to be one emergency, one public health emergency after another, because they think that gives them the right to ignore the Constitution. Well, the Massachusetts Supreme Court has said otherwise. We've had some victories, folks. The Roman Catholic Archdiocese versus Cuomo, another case against Gavin Newsom about the lockdown orders and shutting down churches. And you know, Justice Gorsuch was very, very clear in his wording. The Constitution cannot just be set aside during a public health emergency. So that's why we feel very strongly that we're going to be victorious in these cases at the Supreme Court. By the way, we've already been to the Supreme Court twice in our short life. And we intend to be back there very shortly.
Well, we appreciate that. Brian Festa, Esquire, from WeThePatriotsUSA.org. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been wonderful. Brian, thanks for coming on the show. We'll hopefully try to get you back again under different audio circumstances. But aside from that, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on Monday with more news, information, and solutions here on The Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. In the meantime, stay safe. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Who is bigger than the heavens and the lover of my soul? Great to God, He is Yahweh. Great I am, He is Yahweh. The Lord of all, He is Yahweh. Those of Sharon, He is Yahweh. The righteous Son, He is Yahweh. The three in one, He is Yahweh.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.